All right, and once again, it is our honor to have Sister Pat Boggs, who's going to be speaking to us today. We greatly appreciate Sister Pat Boggs. She's always had such a great spirit and such a great attitude, and she's been so faithful in helping us with our greeters and what are the things in the church. Sister Pat Boggs, it is an honor to have you speaking to us this morning. I'm going to turn it over to you now.
Thank you, Brother Vic, for your kind words. I also want to thank you for all your work that you do. I know that you wear many hats, and I think we all appreciate your hard work, and I know God does too. And I want to give honor to my pastor and Sister Clark. I hope that they had a wonderful time on their trip. I don't know if they're back yet or not, but I pray that they had a good time. Anyways, I have gone back and forth of what to talk about, but my daughter-in-law came in the other day and she saw me studying and stuff, and she wanted to know what I was studying about, and I told her that I had to give a testimony, and she said, well, why don't you testify about Eviana? Eviana, she was our foster daughter. And I told Laura, I said, Laura, a testimony should be something that's good, you know. And Eviana's situation did not work out for the best in our minds. But I just kind of put it to the side. And that night, God gave me a dream of Eviana. And so I figured that's what God wanted me to talk about. Anyways, I'm going to get a little personal with some things that God has done in our life, and kind of like his will and the trials and the tribulations that a few of us have gone through in my family. The first one that I would like to mention is when I first got into church, the plan that I had for my life was for my husband to get into church and we just live for God and live happily ever after. But that obviously was not God's plan for my life. And I struggled for many years on that. I don't know how many years it was, but Brother Smith, he was our youth leader at that time, and he was talking to us about our circumstances in life and how there's always something good in what we're going through. And I can remember sitting there thinking, oh, Brother Smith, you're not even married. You know, and how can you say that? And, you know, you don't have an unsaved companion. And I was just sitting there feeling sorry for myself. And he challenged us to go home and pray and ask God what the good was in our circumstance. And so I took him up on that, and I prayed, and God let me know through all the trials and the tribulations that I was going through living alone that he taught me how to pray. Every time something would happen, come my way, that was discouraging or criticism or you name it, I would go to my room, and I would pray. And at that time, in our marriage, God, or my husband was the leader in our home, and I just did everything that he said, and I just followed along. And the Lord let me know that if God would have saved my husband first, I would have not have gotten my own walk with him. I would have depended on my husband to pray and to do everything, and I would just follow along. But that was not God's plan. He wanted me to establish my own walk and establish my own prayer life and get close to him, because he revealed to me that I have to stand before God all alone in judgment and have to give an account of my life, and I could not use my husband, you know, as an excuse. But through that time, God taught me how to pray, and I am so thankful for that. Because I can get a hold of God all alone. I don't have to depend on my husband or anybody else. And another situation arose in my son and my daughter-in-law's life. they found out in 2010 of August that they were not able to have children. And that was a very hard trial for them. They didn't understand. They had been on a list for the adoption for over 2.5 years and had never heard anything. One day when I was at church praying, Pastor Clark came to me and he said, I would like to talk to you when you get done praying, come into the office. And so when I finished, I went into the office and the pastor said, you know, I've really been thinking about your son and daughter-in-law and how they want a baby. And he said, I've been praying, and God wants me to anoint a handkerchief for them. And he related the story to me in 2 Kings chapter 4 about Elisha and the Shunammite woman and how Elisha wanted to reward the woman, pay back the woman for being so kind to them and whatnot, and he found out that they didn't have children that they wanted. So Pastor told me to go home and give Jonathan that handkerchief and tell him the story. And I went home and I told Jonathan about it, and I said, when the time permits itself, talk to your wife about that. And Jonathan would have understood more about what I was telling him than Laura would. So that was August 10th. August 19th, Jonathan called me and said, Mom, where are you? And I said, I'm leaving the church. And he said, what are you praying about? And I told him, and he said, we just got a call from the county, and they have a baby for us. Now, that's not the plan that they would have wanted for their life. They would have wanted their own child, naturally. But God had other plans for them. Jacob was actually born 5 days before Jonathan and Laura found out that they could not have kids. So God was already working. And I believe that God put Jacob in their life. He knew the environment and the situation that this little baby would be put in. And he knew that Jonathan and Laura could save this child and teach them and teach him and love him and give him what he needed where he couldn't get it with his natural family. They had already had 3 other kids. Grandma was raising them. And it would have been a bad situation. And God revealed his will to them and showed them that he is a miracle worker. And even though, you know, we really thought that, oh, well, God's going to give them a natural baby because God is able. And I had faith to believe that God could fix anything in their bodies because he created them. But that was not God's plan. But his plan was perfect, and it always is. You know, it might not be what we think it should be, but God's ways are better than ours. And this little foster girl, she came to us a few years back when she was 3 months old. She was taken out of the home. She had broken ribs and 2 broken legs. So she was taken out of the home, and she was put in 2 other foster homes before Jonathan and Laura got her. And they got the call that if they wanted to take Eviana, and they kind of struggled with that because at that time, Laura's father was dying of cancer. And I told her, I said, well, maybe Eviana could help you through this. You know, and if I had time to tell you how God worked it all out to get this little girl into their home, it was a miracle. And we just knew that they would be able to adopt Eviana. But a little over a year after that, Eviana was taken out of their home and put back into her biological mother's home. But we think back and we know that God was in this because, like I said, Laura's dad was dying of cancer. And that was in June. And God helped Laura get through that time in her life of grieving, and had this little girl that you had to take care of and, you know, put all your love and energy into her. Laura's dad died in June, and then in July, Jonathan's best friend committed suicide. And here again, it was another instance where God used this little girl to help them through this dark storm that they were going through. A couple weeks later, one of Jonathan's very close friends, their daughter, committed suicide. This was a very, very dark time for my son and my daughter-in-law. But God was there for them, and he carried them through. And I know that the ultimate goal of all of that is to bring my kids to them. Everything that God does is for a reason. And in Romans 8:28, it says that we know that all things work together for the good that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. I know the purpose of that is to bring my kids to God through their hurts, their sorrows. God wants them to unload on him, and he wants to save them through that. And sometimes it takes something like that to bring us to God. And it's a hard thing to go through. We can't always say amen to the will of God. But in the end, God's will is accomplished, and it is for our good. Everything that God does, it's for either to bring us to God or to make us stronger. And even it was with this pandemic that we're going through, you know, on the surface, you can think in the beginning, oh, Lord, what's happening? You know, and surely you're not in this. People are hurting and stuff. But we have seen through these last 2 months that God is perfecting his church. He's drawing us closer. He's changing us. He's giving us a greater burden for souls, for one another, a greater appreciation for church and each other. And I believe that's God's ultimate goal for what we're going through right now. There have been people that have come out of their shells, talents, you know, that we are experiencing that maybe would have never taken place if we hadn't had to shelter in place and be alone. And I am thankful for all that God has done in my life and in my kids' lives. It's all been for a reason, and it's all for his glory, and I am so thankful. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. And that's exactly what he's done in my life, and I think that's what he's doing in my kids' lives. And I'm so thankful that I have the Holy Ghost and that I'm on my way to heaven, and I want to strive to be a better person, better saint. And I feel like when we all get back to church that we're going to see quite a difference in everybody, and I'm thankful for that. I thank you, Vic.
Sister Boggs, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing with us these very personal details. And I just feel very compelled to say two things. Number one, Sister Boggs and everyone that's listening, and I don't want to put Sister Boggs on the spot, but, you know, before the call, she told me how she felt a little bit nervous about doing this. And other people have said the same thing. I feel a little bit nervous. But you, as you can see, everyone, once you start getting into your experience, your testimony, it just comes out very smoothly. There was no issues at all. And I'm just saying that because for the others that feel a little tentative or a little nervous, hey, once you start sharing your testimony, the Lord's going to help you, and you can hear with Sister Bach's testimony this morning. It was very well done and no issues whatsoever. The other thing I want to say is this, Sister Boggs. You said something. I'm going to get a little personal. And we've heard that from several of our people. And once people do that, you know, it can be a painful thing to become vulnerable and to share these very personal experiences. But I know it's going to help someone else with what they are going through. And so, once again, thank you. Thank you, Sister Boggs. This has been a powerful thing this morning. Church, why don't we just take a moment right now and pray and thank the Lord for what we've heard and ask Him to help us with any other issues that anyone is going through right now. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Sister Pat Boggs. We thank You for all these things that she's gone through in her life, Lord. As she said, there's been a purpose for it. There's a reason for it, Lord God. And You're helping us. You're making us better for it, Lord Jesus. We're asking You to continue to keep Your hand upon Your people throughout this day, Lord, and help us to meditate upon everything that Sister Boggs has shared with us this morning in the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. And with amen. That said, church, we want to remind everyone to return to this same conference call line at 7 Morton this evening. Praise God. With that said, God bless all of you. Amen.